Jessica Kenski and Patrick Downs were newlyweds cheering at the finish of the Boston Marathon in 2013 when the bombs went off. Patrick lost his left leg, Jessica too, and later her right leg was amputated. During a years-long recovery, she got a service dog named Rescue, who's helped her not just physically but emotionally. The couple are here today in studio, with Rescue, of course, to talk about their new children's book called Rescue and Jessica, A Life-Changing Friendship. You can join the conversation. Do you have a service animal who has transformed your life? Was there an unexpected way you were able to negotiate past an unthinkable trauma? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Jessica Kenski and Patrick Downs, along with Rescue, thank you all three for joining me today in studio.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, thank you.
Before we talk specifically about the book, you guys went through what for many people would be, even though it plays out on television, unthinkable. And you describe a little bit, and even in the illustration, depict a bit, a dark place for what you guys went through. How did you guys decide, after time apart, after years of healing, how did you find your way to working through this trauma?
We had to work really hard. We're still working hard. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be working on this for the rest of our lives. We spent a lot of time talking with each other, with therapists, both individually and as a couple, processing it with our families who were there in those first moments, meeting the people who cared for us, both on Boylston Street and then in the hospitals. We've forged incredible bonds with our Boylston Street family. We lived at Walter Reed in Bethesda, Maryland for 3 years. And
they've really hard-won knowledge on how to deal with injuries like this.
They do, and the psychological element of it as well. And we've found incredible kinship with all these different groups of people. So that's been very healing for us, but we still have a lot of work to do.
Your story has been depicted in movies and documentaries. I think a lot of people sort of assume there's an epiphany moment. You kind of figure it out and you work through it. My sense is that's not how it works in real life.
No, not at all. That would be nice, though.
You'd volunteer for that.
Yeah, I would. I would. No, I think Patrick hit the nail on the head. It's a lifelong thing that we're struggling with. And we have hit new plateaus, new peaks, which has been great. We just moved home back to the Boston area last summer, and it took about 4.5 years before I stopped having surgery on a regular basis and kind of closed the chapter on being a full-time patient. And so now we're back to like reintegrating to, very walking city, a city with traffic and terrible winters, and figuring out what we want to do for work and school and life and family planning. And it's hard because everything looks and feels different now. So in addition to, as Patrick mentioned, all those amazing supporters we've had, I think also being a part of this huge trauma where you feel like Boston's never forgotten about us. And I love going somewhere and seeing a Boston Strong sticker on the back of a city bus or a Boston Strong t-shirt somewhere. Like, you just feel like people are still rooting for you. Mm-hmm. And so I think that motivation becomes internalized and we get up and we try again the next day. And I think that's where our specific trauma differs from a lot of individual or more anonymous traumas, is that we've had this incredible, unbelievable support that's continued 5 years later. You know, people haven't forgotten about us. It hasn't tired.
Personal and public support.
Absolutely.
You know, obviously, Monday is the Patriots Day, the day of the Boston Marathon, the fifth anniversary of these events. Your book, Rescue and Jessica, focuses on an 11-year-old Jessica, mm-hmm. A girl who has gone through her own amputation that kind of parallels yours in the timing of it, the way it works, but not related to the marathon at all.
Right.
How did you guys decide to do it that way?
Well, we knew we did not want to talk about the bombing. I mean, that was just right off the bat. We both agreed. And we just feel like it was a couple horrible, hateful seconds, and it doesn't deserve any more of our collective attention. And what does deserve our attention is everything that happened once those bombs went off, starting with the first responders that rushed to our side and all the help we've received from then until now. in regards to the age of Jessica, that was help from our publishers. And it's kind of a funny story because in one of our first meetings, they said, so how old did you envision yourself? And I'm a nurse. I'm very like scientific, black and white. And I said 32, because that's how old I was when that part of the story was happening. And they kind of were like, well, it's a little odd to have a main character of a children's picture book be a grown-up. And they were worried that it wasn't going to be as relatable as it could be. And
meaning not just as a commercial endeavor, but just in speaking to the child.
Yes.
And conveying what you wanted to get across.
Absolutely. Can we make this story more powerful and resonate with more children? And one way to do that was to make me, the technical word is a tween. So which changed the story, and it changed what Jessica and Rescue do together. They weren't going to go into Mass General for a 12-hour shift on the T, right, because she's a tween. And also, it kind of wrote Patrick out because Jessica's not going to be married as a tween. So
I got cut.
Patrick got cut.
It happens. It happens in Hollywood. It happens apparently in the cutthroat children's book business, right?
Yeah.
Happens both
I will
of them.
Say Patrick does make a few cameos.
He's the brother.
He is my kid brother. Yeah. Can you recognize
the
glasses?
Yeah, I saw the glasses. Yeah. It was all there.
Yeah.
I got to say, it's a really nicely done book because it's written gently and simply, but it's never condescending. Mm-hmm. There's not a moment at which you feel you're being preached at or talked down to, mm-hmm. I think. I thought that was, as father of two young children, I thought that there was something really wonderful about that. If I'm not mistaken, you specialized in psychology. Is that right? How do you process the importance of Rescue in thinking about the way in which you have at least been trained to deal with people and their emotional state?
For us, Rescue is the embodiment of all these people who have come into our lives to support us. Their support of us has just been incredible. And he is that unconditional love, the loyal companionship that we have found from humans. He has been for Jess. He has been for us. And kids know that instinctively. Humans get that. They know that dogs have this special place in our lives. And so when kids see Rescue and Jessica out and about, their eyes just light up. You know, they're so fascinated by this dog with this bright red cape in a place where you don't usually see dogs. And they want to know everything. What does he eat? What does he do for Jess? Where does he sleep? How does he play? And it's therapeutic just to talk to them about Rescue and all the ways that he's comforted us. So he's a perfect steward for the themes that we've tried to elucidate. He's a perfect steward for people with disabilities, that we don't have to just see the trauma or the victimization of someone, but instead see how love is still alive in their lives, companionship, all the obstacles that they can overcome as this really dynamic duo.
And for those listeners that can't see what we're like in studio, the two of you are sitting across from me a little bit. You guys have been looking down at Rescue. He's sitting, or lying, I should say, totally chill. Yep. There. He has not uttered a word. I'm very impressed. It's more than I can say. We have a call from Thomaston, Georgia. Deanne is on the line. She has a story about her Rescue equivalent.
Hi, David.
Hiya, Deanne. Tell us about your dad's dog.
My dad actually rescued Harley from the pound, and he trained her himself to be his service dog, his little sidekick. He had muscular dystrophy, and I always said my dad was my hero. My hero was on four wheels, and his sidekick had four paws and fur. He had such a better life because of Harley and everything that she helped him with. He taught her how to open doors, and she would go on daily walks with him when we lived in Florida, and she was always there with him. He was a happier person because of Harley. And, I mean, I love this children's book, the idea of this, because, you know, really, these rescue dogs that help people with disabilities are like their heroes and their sidekicks. And it's so important that we realize this and what an important relationship that these dogs have with those with disabilities and they get them, that have them. And I love this. I love everything about this.
Well, Deanne, thank you so much for moving a tribute to Harley, your dad's best friend in Black Lab, service dog. Jessica Kensky, there's a moment in the book where your mini-me learns that she's going to lose her second leg.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly, Rescue clambers into her bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only way she goes to sleep.
Yeah.
How closely that scan what happened in your life?
Oh, I remember that moment so clearly. You know, losing my left leg was a sudden, unexpected thing, but losing my right leg was a long, drawn-out kind of thing hanging over my head, and it was very planned. And when I went in for that second amputation, my parents were there, my in-laws were there, my sister was there, my brother-in-law was there. And I remember it being so weird because I rolled out of the OR and came into the recovery area, and there was now this enormous gap at the end of my bed. And that's just how I felt. I felt like I had lost so much in so many ways, you know, hope, my future, our plans. And to have Rescue jump up and fill that gap, literally, you know, and figuratively, was just what I needed in that moment. I don't think anyone could have done or said anything. I don't think there was any medication or drip, you know, that could have brought that comfort in that moment. And I think that as humans, we try to find all these ways to get these feelings or cover up these emotions, and we can do them in some pretty unhealthy ways. And I think dogs are such, all animals really, but I'm biased to dogs. Dogs are such a healthy way to do it. Like your caller mentioned, you know, it got her dad focused. It got him out. He had a routine of walking. Like, it's such a great intervention that, you know, from a medical perspective, it's pretty benign. It's not a surgery. Mm-hmm. It's not a drug. It's not, you know, a device.
But it's huge.
But it's huge.
To you as a human being, it's huge.
And it's immediate.
Right.
And it's not just felt by the individual who's paired. It's felt by their partner, by their family, by their community. I mean, Rescue's become, in our survivor group, he's kind of become the mascot. He's been there since the very early days. And people light up when they see him.
Jess really believes that North Korea could denuclearize if Kim Jong-un had a service dog, because they have such amazing companionship.
And if we tweet that out to the right folks, then
yes,
you get there. I'm David Folkenflik. This is On Point. Patrick Downs, you went through what in any other conversation would be the most, would obliterate all other discussion. It is a traumatic thing that you went through as well. There is a book about Jessica's circumstance and about Rescue. Has Rescue been such a boon to you that it's helped you as well? Have there been moments when you've said, good Lord, I'm going through this trauma me here, and I almost don't have capacity to process even this woman I love, the trauma she's going through?
We very early on realized that Jess was in for a long road, and as a couple needed to, and as a family needed to harness all the resources we had to take care of Jess and help her decide how to regain a quality of life. The moment we met Rescue, he was so joyful and playful and made Jess light up that myself, Jess's father and sister, who were there to see it happen, laughed in a way that our bodies had forgotten what it felt like to be that joyful. And he has continued to be that sort of support for us. When Jess and I have had to go and speak with surgeons about all the different options that lay in front of her, we would go back to our room at Walter Reed or here in the Boston area. We'd cuddle with him. We'd take him out to play. He has been therapeutic for all of us as we've processed all of the nuances and complexities of the last number of years.
And in just the few minutes we have left, tell me a little bit about what the process of writing the book did for you and to you, each one.
When we were at Walter Reed and having really dark days, this was the one thing we could work on. We'd work on it for a half hour. We'd kick some ideas around. We would throw edits back to our agent, Clelia Gore. She'd throw things back at us, and we just had a blast with it, imagining how we could communicate the beauty of Rescue to children in a language that worked for them. And it's been, even as if this never saw the light of day, it was so therapeutic for us.
Jessica?
Yeah, if this was not a fun project from start to finish, we absolutely would have dropped it along the way, because we dropped a lot of important things like paying bills and responding to emails. Because depression, you know, doesn't usually make you a really productive person. But this was always fun. I think channeling Rescue, giving him, I know he has a personality and thoughts. Patrick knows, but to get to think them through and put them down on paper was just fun and playful. And I think it also tapped into my experience as a nurse and Patrick's experience as a psychologist. We got to use a little bit of our professional teaching, too. And so it was just a great, I don't know, marriage of skills and talents.
We've got about 45 minutes left. If there were a blinking subterranean author's message, what do you want a kid? What do you want an 11-year-old Patrick, 11-year-old Jessica, to take from this, whether or not they've been through such a trauma?
That loyal companionship can help you overcome anything. That despite whatever obstacles you're facing in your life, if you have a dog or a human by your side who loves you unconditionally, that's all that counts.
If I had to pick one or two things, I would say for some kids to be able to see themselves or their family in this story, mm-hmm. and to normalize some of it and to open the door for them to share their own. But also for some kids that aren't exposed to these things, I want this equipment and these bodies to become normal.
Well, Jessica Kensky and Patrick Gowns, thank you for sharing your extraordinary story today. Thank you for providing some uplift too. And thanks for talking about your new children's book, Rescue and Jessica, A Life-Changing Friendship. Thank you. Thank you both, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. And you can follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. One other note, On Point would like to correct the record. In a segment on April 5th about teen vaping, we played a clip from a YouTube video and described the video blogger as a teenager. At the time the YouTube video was recorded, she was in fact 33 years old. We regret the error. I'm David Folkenflik, and this is On Point. Thank you.